This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
7 minutes after 10, it's the last Thursday of the month today, and Brasol is with us. Brasol always brings along a visitor. After this conversation with Brasol on our disability feature, we are going to talk about, people that are, providing support to parents, particularly parents that are considering homeschooling their children for their own, for the rest of the year. So we'll be speaking to the CEO of an organization called SKSA Excelate and E-Learning, Tandong Kuta. We'll also speak to Linda Kumalo, CEO of Safe Cyber Life, which is underage cyber security, the topic that we'll be talking about, because most of their children spend most of their time online because of the demands of the schools, and therefore sometimes it's very difficult to check whether they are actually doing schoolwork at some point. And Linda's going to give us tips in terms of how do you, protect your children from harmful people out there, in times like this. So that's what's going to happen between 10:30 and 11 p.m. And then after the news at 11, we'll speak to our colleague Ndaye Jonathanje to talk to us about issues hogging the headlines, as well as Jeremy Mighty, who's a social commentator and a lawyer. Brasol.
Hey, my bro.
How are you? How are you keeping, Brasol?
Great, and how are you? We are still surviving the lockdown.
Yeah. I have issues with, people like yourselves who are leading when it comes to human rights issues for people with disability. None of you has actually raised a serious voice about schools for kids with disabilities. We are now learning that the Department of Education is still discussing, trying to find out, because it's a special area which requires a special approach. And we are on day 63 of lockdown, and there's just no answer even today. How sad is that, Brasol?
It is very sad, but gradually there are some voices emerging that sensitize government to some of these issues. For instance, even when the lockdown began and they looked at how it will impact on people, thinking about its impact on people with disabilities was an afterthought. But it was an afterthought after a number of voices, including DJ Bambo in Limpopo, began to raise all these issues. In fact, it's even a much more difficult situation they are creating. For instance, Level 3, they are saying many companies have to open. And at the same time, not all schools, school grades, will be opening. Then we say, what about those parents who have to be at work and at the same time they have children who are dependent on them because they are disabled, and the schools for learners with special needs are not opening. So it's quite a challenge for us.
Anyway, Brasol, it's a discussion for another day. Tonight, who have you brought along?
In fact, before I introduce our tonight's guest, I'll tell you something very interesting. I have an uncle called Frank Holly. He adopted me as a nephew some many years ago when we were working together. So I gave him a copy of my book. Then he said, my nephew, you wrote your book when you were disabled. And then he said, by the way, do you know that Handel was blind when he...
Sorry, Brasol. He said you wrote your book when you were...
when I was disabled.
Mm. And then?
So then it reminded him of Handel, who wrote the Hallelujah Chorus, the classical piece.
Yeah.
When he was blind.
Is that, how does it go? Is it that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he also said that who the ode to joy from his 1940. Then I said, oh, that's very interesting. Maybe 100 years from now, when kids go to the library, they will say, Saul wrote this book when he was disabled. I know it's just one of those dreams I have.
No. I'm sure it will happen, you know. I'm sure it will happen, you know.
But basically, the moral of the story is that out of every dark situation, there'll always be a silver lining.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, coming to our guest, he's a very special person. His name is Ipileng Kuno. Most of us have seen him on TV, running in marathons using crutches.
Mm.
So Ipileng will take over and we'll listen to his inspiring story. Using crutches when I can't even do 500 meters using my crutches.
Yeah, yeah. Ipileng, good evening.
Good evening, Tabiso. Good evening, Braso.
Yeah, I have a very big respect for crazy people like you, you know, people who do things that make us think, I can't even do this thing, you know. I make all kinds of excuses, and there are people like you who actually do these things, you know.
you do whatever you can and so long as you enjoy it.
Absolutely, then, absolutely. Tell us about it, because I've seen you on television as well.
Basically, I started running in 2016 as a result of, you know, I wanted to lose weight. At the time, I was 120 kgs and two gym memberships. But because of I was using public transport, there was no way I would ever make work and gym at the same time. Mm. And, you know, using taxis and stuff, it's not so convenient for people living with disabilities. So, yeah, started running, and that was when my chapter started, you know,
And, you know, it was an unusual sight for so many people, I suppose. And, you know, what was the reaction like?
I was quite surprised because a whole lot of people would encourage me whenever. I think my first race was Omni Damit Hati Dispo Dam, where I got, like, whole lot of encouragement from the guys that week, you know, encouraged me. And I didn't think I would finish, but as you keep hearing people saying you inspire me, you also just want to go further, run faster and so on. And I got good encouragement and support from a whole lot of other runners. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure it goes a long way as well in terms of your motivational speaking work.
In
fact, I will ask Ipileng to describe his disability, because when I read about it, it sounded like the name of a very nice pizza, you know.
that's true, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you can explain your kind of disability to our listeners.
Yes, so I was born with septo-optic dysplasia. This simply means that I was born without balance, and, you know, it makes it difficult for me to do an average thing like waking up and standing up, stuff like that. So, it's quite a rare form of, you know, rare form of cerebral palsy. But, it's what I've got, and I've made the best of it. And it's quite ironic that I actually run without balance. But,
How often do you interact with others who are people with living with disabilities, and what is the common thread that you find in terms of confidence?
treatment, I try and, you know, I try and talk to as many people as I can, people with disabilities, people without disabilities, because I feel like at the moment, probably the only disability is information, because immediately when you say disability, it's because of a lack of information that someone has. So I try and talk to people regarding their disability, because of immediately when you have a disability, it's because of someone can't relate to you, someone doesn't know what you have, why are you, you know, what is this engagement that you have, and so on. So immediately when you tell your story, when you tell them that, oh, I can actually walk to the bathroom by using a wheelchair, then you cut down that stereotype of saying that, oh, no, this person can't be a certain. So I tend to talk to a whole lot of people with disabilities, without, and yeah.
And you also do rowing.
Something new that I've started out this year, because I'm quite keen to get to the Paralympics, which luckily for me will be next year. So for me, the whole lockdown thing has actually been a bit of a, you know, blessing in disguise, you know? Yeah.
Rasul?
Maybe you can also tell us about the two oceans. He did 21 kilometers.
I think I'm probably known for running two oceans. That's my second one last year. I was supposed to do my third one this year. But yeah, I've got a very special relationship with two oceans, because that's the one race that said, like, hey, even though you've got a disability, you run on crutches, you can come to our event and just, you know, do what you do. And which was very enlightening, because of it's a bit unfortunate at the moment, because of I can't run at sports for people living with disabilities, because of there are all these restrictions. And to be honest, I think it's just a thing of where people living with, well, runners on crutches have never been considered that they'll be able to one day run at the Paralympics. So it's something as well that I'm, you know, looking forward to pursue. But yeah, I've got a very special relationship with two oceans, and I'm hoping that eventually I will get my blue number, which is completing 10-2 oceans marathons. Yeah.
As you speak, Ipileng, I'm thinking aloud.
All right.
To say, you know, when I drive in and out of various townships.
Yes, sir.
I don't see any visibility of anything that speaks to sports for children with disabilities. I know I may be wrong. Sometimes I get my own observations wrong myself, you know. Is there anything
moment,
of the sort?
I think, I'm not sure if, but is this discouragement that if you are living with a disability, you shouldn't go outside or something like that, which I've just decided to embrace and thought of, well, why not? Why not show the people what you can do and celebrate your own differences and so on? So it's something that I am really trying to, you know, bring quite forward. In fact, there's probably going to be an initiative where I invite people to come and run with me, because of I've noticed that, like, people love to run with me. So in some of my races, I invite people to run with me so that they can experience what I do. And, you know, how is it to run on crutches? Because it's such a, I think people are still curious to find out, why am I running on crutches? How is it to run on crutches and stuff? So, yeah.
In fact, maybe I should also announce that we are very privileged to have Ipileng volunteering as one of the Brain Hill Africa Foundation's brand ambassadors. And immediately after he approached us, we were also very lucky to get a call from a pastor in Limpopo, in Stylop, Elias Mashilo, who offered to join with us, and his role will be mainly to give counsel to not only to disabled children, but also to their parents, to say to them that they shouldn't see that as a curse from God. Because that's why you have a situation where children with disabilities are hidden away from the broader communities. And he's going to be talking to all these families, and also talking to children and youth with disabilities to say, in fact, they are a blessing from God, and they need to embrace their disability, but also to come up with ways of how they can overcome, you know, the disabilities so that they can live a fruitful life, much in the same way as Ipi Leng has done in the sporting field.
Is that your primary focus when you do your motivational speaking, Ipi Leng, or does it depend on the audience that you have to deal with at that particular time?
No, that's my primary focus as well. You know, it's very painful to see parents hiding their kids because I was raised by a single mother who has just simply said, no, this is my son. I will not put him in a home or anything like that. So she's really like giving me all the opportunities that I could have had. And even though she didn't have much, but I mean, I went to the best schools and my mother just made sure that I had exposure. So, you know, I would also like to install the same, you know, lessons that I've gotten from my mother to also motivate other parents as well, you know. To give their children same opportunities as I had.
Yeah. Yeah, Brasol, there's quite a bit of work that you guys are doing, and you know, you are spreading your wings, and I'm sure as days go by, you realize the amount of work that still needs to be done, isn't it?
Indeed, in fact, 3 weeks ago, when we realized that the distribution of food parcels was centered mainly in your urban and peri-urban areas, we teamed up with two companies that donated food parcels that we delivered in a village in Hammanskraal called Yestres. We delivered to a center for children with disabilities called Lesedi, and we also delivered in Temba, and from there for the peri-urban areas, we donated the food parcels in Ekurhuleni. But for me, what was more touching was us donating in Hammanskraal, you know, because most of the things happen around Johannesburg and Pretoria, and rural areas are often forgotten.
Ipi Leng, so in as far as sports is concerned, you know, what do you think, you know, needs to happen for us to be effective, for, you know, so that we get participants like yourselves, black areas, participating in sporting events like the rowing and stuff?
Really like to encourage and challenge Department of Sports to make disability sports, or I don't know, para sports, whatever you want to call it, more accessible for persons with disabilities. Because of normally in a school in a special school, you behaving all the, you know, all the wheelchairs and all the things to do your sports, but soon as you leave sports, it's just as soon as you leave school, then it's all of a sudden everything stops because you no longer have the resources. And yet we've got a Department of Sports who I think they are doing the most that they can, but I also believe that they can do more, especially to develop disability sports. Because if you look at the Paralympics versus the Olympics, I don't want to go into that debate, but athletes with disabilities always bring more medals, but they are the least ones that get the exposure or support from, you know, corporate or either way, you know,
Sure, Brasol, as a parting shot.
This afternoon we also engaged the South Africa Sport Association for the Physically Disabled. And in fact, I made a commitment to them that we will invite them in future so that they can explain all the sporting codes in which people with disabilities can participate. And they were quite excited about it. But I realized that we need more time so that they could also be able to take calls from our listeners. Anyway, from us, thank you so much for tonight, and we wish our people a happy level 3 downgrading of the lockdown from next month.
From Monday. Thank you very much, Brasol. Thank you so much, Ipileng. Keep going strong, my bro.
Thank you so much.
Brasol, okay, to you as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, my bro.
Thank you very much. There you go. Brasol Mulobi there, speaking to us as he normally does on Thursdays.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.